I had to sum up the WTO interest in this matter, I would say we would like to ensure that trade statistics do not lie, or maybe, being a bit more modest, to ensure that they lie as little as possible. And what was the sort of igniter of this process was our observation, which we shared with many trade specialists, that the patterns of international trade have incredibly rapidly changed, and that the focus of countries' trade policies or of trade negotiations have not yet adjusted to this formidable change. What these numbers tell us is that it's more and more difficult to explain global trade today with conventional concepts, with conventional trade theories, and especially to understand welfare gains and distribution stemming from the globalization of trade. The reality is that traditional statistics do not give a clear picture of today's ways of trading, especially in manufactured products, but also in services. And they have, in many ways, broken the bridge which we need to rebuild between the benefits of international trade, how it happens, under which condition does it happen, and what really matters for people, which is jobs. And this is where the bridge can be built, because as we all know, value addition is roughly mostly jobs. And this is why we started this sort of journey in 07 again, picking up on what Japan had been doing many years ago. But like often in research, you start a stream, you get somewhere, but it has no visibility. And then somebody else with a different discipline, with a different look, picks up on what you've done, and then it starts flying. So we're very sort of intellectually extremely grateful to the sort of seminal work which Japan did on this many two decades ago. Now, last point, and that's what probably matters most than my old boy's stories. What do these numbers tell us? At first glance, I'm not entering into details. At first glance, and for what matters with poor public opinion and politicians. One, services. As Angel already said, while services traditionally in traditional growth numbers represent sort of 20% of total trade, the share of services in world trade doubles the moment you measure in added value. And that's for the reason which Angel already mentioned, which many trade policymakers, politicians, or public opinion have not yet really spotted, which is that the services that are incorporated into the value of the merchandise is getting higher and higher. Now, I'm not doing any commercial for anybody, but if I look at this machine, which I use like many of you, and the question is it a good or is it a service? Is it a good or is it a service? Now, it looks like a good. Probably is a good.
That's a good.
Huh? Yeah, it's a good because it's an artifact, it's something you can touch. Now, if you look at where was the value added from the start to the beginning of this process to the end, it is a service. for the largest part of this is a service. So again, I'm not doing any commercial. I didn't mention any brand. I took the precaution of the thing being with an envelope. But that's one of the major findings of these first numbers. Second, if you look at the distribution of the numbers country-wise, the lesson that immediately strikes is that the countries that export more and best are the countries that import more and best. In other words, if you want to grow your economy, i.e. the jobs of your economy, through participation in international trade, the obsession which has always been on export, sort of, you know, exports are great, imports are bad, is totally unfounded. These numbers kill this sort of old mercantilist impression. In many cases, if you want to build upon your comparative advantage in order to export, where you have a competitive advantage, one of the first questions you need to raise is, where do I need to import more? Now, I know if I go on, let's say, French TV, just taking one example, coincidental, and I say this, people say, oh, who's this guy? You know, sort of one more pope of ultra-liberalism who wants globalization to roller coaster everything. This is now the economic reality. And I think this has deep implications, again, on trade policies, on trade negotiations. It reshuffles this notion of well-known, entrenched offensive versus defensive. Some of your defensives can be offensive. And at the end of the day, but I don't want to enter in too much of a philosophical controversy on trade and trade negotiations, but it needs to rethink about this good old concept of reciprocity. Because if you look at where the concept of reciprocity comes from, it comes from this notion that you have to balance offensive and defensive. So relooking at this balance probably is necessary. Third and last point, and I'll stop there, is of course a new look at bilateral balances. The immediate conclusion being that focus on bilateral balances, which has been a traditional element of trade negotiator software, is becoming more and more senseless.